Let's talk about dance. Tanztheater calling.
We just said we start with the coffee, so we are happy to begin.
I also need my coffee, so.
That's good. I also don't know you so well. Maybe you can talk a bit about your background, where you come from, how long you're within the company, because as preparation for this interview, I read your very impressive CV. So you're from Canada. You're working since, I think, 2017 in the company and have been also nominated for Best Dancer 2018 and so on. So maybe you can give us a bit an overview where you come from and what was your way to come to Wuppertal?
Yeah, so hi, I'm Stephanie. I guess when people ask me where I'm from these days, it's sort of hard to give a easy answer because I've lived so many places. I sort of feel like a nomad, and Germany is now the place I've been the longest in the last couple of years. So it feels good to be able to be somewhere for a little while. I was born in Canada and I grew up there with a really close family, and I started dance by chance of living next to a dance teacher. So no one in my family was dancers. It was just like fate that lived next to one and started kind of like running around in a tutu at the age of two or three. And from there, it just really took on a life of its own. From about age 13, I moved to Texas for my family's work. And I studied at a performing arts high school, Booker T. Washington High School for the Performing and Visual Arts. So that was already, like, again, I already was training intensely as a kid from like 3 to 12. Doing competitions and training at the dance studio until like 10 o'clock at night every night. But then now I was not only doing high school, but it was sort of like a fame situation where you also do ballet and dance like during the day and still training at the studio at night. So yeah, it really was my life. So then I went to New York. I think I was 17 when I started university. So I was really like a baby. And I love New York so much. I mean, that I feel is really where I truly discovered who I am and what I want. And yeah, I think the really amazing thing about the NYU program was they really let you kind of follow your own path. They didn't really hold your hand. I mean, you really couldn't, because NYU is just kind of scattered throughout New York City. There's not one campus. So it's almost like you live alone and you kind of start your own life and figure it out. So I was just like in love with being in the whole culture of New York, all the people, all the access to everything. I was working on dance and choreography, but I was also acting and I was taking classes outside of school and I was meeting really amazing people in other departments. So like I met some of the best friends of my life from those years that I was there. And then from New York, straight away, I auditioned for Batsheva my last year in school and I got in. So okay. I basically picked up my life in New York and moved to Tel Aviv.
I was there.
That was also an amazing experience. It was my first job outside of university. So like the first time is always diving in and not knowing what to really expect. So I didn't know actually how hard it would be for me to live in a foreign country so far away. I really enjoyed the work there, but it sort of felt like I wasn't the right fit somehow. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, I stayed for a year, and that summer I left and I ended up working on a Netflix series for 3 months in Tel Aviv, which was really awesome. And that sort of led me into the next audition, which was for Pina Bausch. And I got the audition notice in the summer and I thought, oh my God, there's absolutely no way I'll get this job. I thought, like, I'm already super young, and a lot of auditions that had been popping up, they had even age requirements, like 25 okay. and up. So I thought, okay. But I just thought, why not? Yeah, just try it. Like, what can go wrong? So I got invited to the audition, and then I think it was the first day. It was maybe 3 hours on the first day of the audition, and there was a lot of people still, like 120 maybe, that were invited, and I recognized a lot of faces. I recognized people from really big companies and just like fangirling a little bit at the company members. And but I just decided right at the first day, like, just put everything out there, nothing to lose, nobody to impress kind of thing, and just take it or leave it and just kind of go for it.
Is it also because of age, or that you think that's the power you have when you're young, because you said like, okay, I just let it go, or I just give it a go?
I think it was a mixture. I think it was that, like, in contrast, in Batsheva, I feel like I built up my idea in my head of what I should be and what I need to show in the audition. And whereas in the Pina audition, I already felt like this is so far-fetched, I might as well just go for it. And I think, like, just that whole year kind of changed my perspective on how I wanted to approach going forward. And also in the audition, there was just so much that I didn't know, and I didn't know what to expect. And the only way you can really experience that is to just go for it. And after the first day, there were like three tasks or something that were dance and then some gestures and then some improvisation. And I just had so much fun. And I was just surprised each round how fun it was. And then it was also scary.
Don't like, tell I them didn't... that.
No, I know. It was scary though. It was also really scary. We had to do, like, we had to talk about an object one by one.
What for an object?
Improvising. Yeah, like in 1980, the guy, I think it's Litzwitz, it's the Scott role, and he says, Ich liebe meinen Stuhl. And okay. So we had to like take a random object and improvise telling an object how much you love it. And I think I was first. So it was like so scary.
Great.
I had deodorant. So I still have the deodorant from that audition, because I was like, my dearest pomegranate deodorant. You know, sometimes I smell awful, but you make my stink go away. Nobody sees you, but you're the most amazing gift to this world.
Yo.
Yeah. So it was like I was even surprising myself with things that I had in me that I just didn't use. Yeah. Right. I love that one.
Cool.
So anyway, it was a super challenging audition, but each round I just kept making it. And by the end of the 3 days, there was maybe 20 people left. And yeah, a couple of days later, I got a call and I was invited to join for Rite of Spring. And then I later joined full time as a company member. So I've been there since the beginning of 2017. Already, I started learning Rite of Spring in December of 2016. So.
And what did they say? We loved your Derodion or what? Or did you also get a feedback from the audition? How is this working?
Well, I mean,
or they just say, you got it, just sign.
Well, people were laughing at the deodorant one, so I think that was a good sign. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really hear much feedback until years later. So... But I did get feedback, of course, that they were really interested in me and that I had a young energy and a lot of potential in the company. And yeah, just like a lot of things checked the boxes for them. And also they were looking for somebody with like that extra spark. So yeah. They saw that in me, which was really special.
That's beautiful. But do you think when you hear this that they like this young energy, or is it kind of, yes, I made it? So is it something where you're proud, or that you can deliver this? Or because I think it's also when you deal with this tension, I mean, it's such a quality to deal with this situation. I didn't want to stand in front of the people then being in this position, you know? I mean, you have to have a possibility or a quality to deal with it.
Oh, man. I think that I do really well under pressure. It somehow doesn't intimidate me, even though it is scary at times, but I think that at this point, or at that point, I just wanted to exhaust all of the possibilities and show what I'm capable of. And mm-hmm. I feel like in every company where like dancers or artists or actors or whoever really function is when like both people really match. And if they see something in you, but you also like feel confident to be your whole self. And so I felt like I was showing layers of myself that I hadn't been able to show before. And the fact that they were also seeing sides of me was really cool for me, that it felt like a marriage kind of, or like a relationship beginning. And I feel like that also continued through the first couple of years, because, you know, starting out, it also is pressure too, because you want to show that you are the right pick and like what you're capable of doing. And I feel like it was a balance too, because for example, like the Seven Deadly Sins, when Joe first approached me about the role, I watched it and I was like, oh my God, you want me to do this? I don't know if I can do that. And then diving into it, I was like, oh, of course, like I can do this. But I feel like I was challenged with a lot of different roles and different sides of myself, like where now I feel like I'm not really afraid of anything. So it took a few pieces and a few roles that I was able to also go somewhere for myself.
Would you describe it as in kind of empowerment for yourself, that you went through this journey, that you then say, got this kind of experience and all this oeuvre and Pina Bausch version for Brecht and Wild, Seven Deadly Sins, you know, I've been there, I did it, and it's part of me, but I can grow with it. So do you see this also strengthening yourself in a artistic capacity?
Absolutely. Well, actually, all of Pina's works are really empowering, but especially Seven Deadly Sins. And I was also able to do it twice, which was, I feel, even more empowering somehow, because the first time was in a way diving into this role and also a little bit proving myself in some capacity. And then the second time was kind of just even digging deeper and going to the next level and growing inside of the role and seeing what else I can bring to it and what other layers I can dig into. And it was really a role that I felt was not only important for like artistically, but also with the content material in our time. It's a super mm-hmm. important piece to share with a lot of the Me Too movements and just conversations and topics that were taboo back then and still are not really talked about enough. And so I feel like it was empowering to play a role like that, that can spark conversations and that can make people feel and think about things like that.
Can you explain a bit then how this role resonates in you when you have developed it? So was it directly because it's also a young girl or woman who finds a way in the world, like this Anna too, in a way? So maybe can you explain a bit more about this?
Approaching Anna, first of all, I really dove into the text and I wanted to make sure I understood her story and why she does these things, which in a way, they're shaped already in the piece from scene to scene. It logically develops from her being a naive girl who really just loves her sister to, you know, this also naive energy where she tries so hard to help her family and do this prostitution thing, which she doesn't even know what it is. And just by doing that, she discovers how messed up it is, but she's still trying because this is the way that she's been told. And then it gets pretty intense. I think for me, as soon as I reached the scene with Oleg, which is the gluttony scene, where he's like measuring my body and weighing me and like just breaking my hips, I feel like that's where I kind of like, I start losing it a little bit. That like starts really breaking me. And I think the cool thing about approaching a role like this is I do have experience with, I would say, I don't want to say emotional abuse, but as a young girl in the dance industry, I had teachers who were pretty cruel to me. I had a teacher who called me some really bad names, which I didn't even know what they meant at the time. Body shaming and things like that growing up were not uncommon. And we're sort of just told to shut up sometimes. That hasn't been my experience in my entire career, but it has happened. So some of these things, although I've never been sexually abused or maybe harassed in the same way as Anna, I could still like feel that those things inside of her. And then to do a role like this, it was for me more, I guess, better to create and go deep into her. And then after the show, I can sort of like close the book and come back to myself. But I had to go there with her and imagine all these things happening to me as Anna.
But this was basically then to create a form of resistance for yourself, to really see it as part of the character. Is that right?
Yeah, I think at a certain point, you can't really separate so much. But like, I think having those experiences, they definitely came out anyway, because I actually didn't really think about them until I did this role again. And I had a ballet school teacher like slapping my knees and like brushing my hair until like you couldn't see my hairline, like those things I didn't even remember. And they just kind of came out when I started doing this role and like remembering. It's like kind of like the body remembers things you don't even think about. And that to me at the time was just normal. So I think there's a moment in the piece where Anna is absolutely like, she just would rather die than continue. And for me, that's the moment after I have to push away the only person I actually love, which is played by Jonathan. And then you just have to keep going. And then that part is also like, I'm actually exhausted, but then you have to keep going and you have to do this, like this last final, like where she actually goes crazy. She's actually gone off the deep end. Like there's an element of that, that like, I can't control that. It just has to happen. I know if I've gone far enough, if it's really hard for me to do the last part. And so by the end, I'm actually completely exhausted and I probably am not really seeing straight. And I really do feel like just kaput. So it's like, I don't think it's like separating me or Anna. It's just kind of like knowing where I am in her journey in the piece and making that real for myself. And just like the more I can dive into each of those scenes, the more like the layer of the journey is real. And then by the end, it's just like heartbreaking because she did it all. She got the money, but she like lost so much. But I feel like there is still like a pride in her at the end that she still says, yes, Anna. Like to me, that is just like, oh, She's still holding something, but is completely like done, broken.
Do you know for yourself in your journey in this character why she continued at the end? Why didn't she say, fuck off? Or why didn't she say, I stop? Or why didn't she say, I make a break? Why did she go on? Because it's such an abusive, you know, also a context. Do you have a kind of insight from inside the role for this? Or is it just how the structure is?
I mean, it is how the structure is, but I think it makes sense. I mean, if you think about people who have gone through anything like this, they keep going on. You keep going on. And I think it's harder to just say, I'm done. Maybe it's actually easier to just do that. But there is this humanity of like still wanting to help in your family in some way. And I think she comes back around different than she started, of course. I wonder if Anna would continue 7 more years after this. I don't know. I think that her sister is a big part of that. And when you're controlled by people who have always kind of shaped your life in a certain way, it's hard to step out of that. And there's also like a sense of pride in her. I think that she tries to keep her dignity and she tries to kind of just hold it together, which I think is brave. And I think a lot of people do that. So I think it's important to see it in that way for all like people who have these hidden stories or these, you know, things where they keep going on and you would never know from just looking at them.
What do you feel when you hear the applause?
When I hear the applause?
Yeah, what do you feel?
I feel dirty. Only for that piece. Any other time, I feel like so much joy when I hear the applause. But after that, I just feel like I want to go off and just let it all out and cry. And then like, I don't want to hear, like, it feels like a gladiator situation where you just like, I don't know, like you're on a death match and people are like cheering. But I've also heard from people that it's difficult for them to clap after because it is like we're clapping for something that's really hard to watch. But this second time I did The Seven Deadly Sins, I also played Joanne's role in the second part, which basically was like 30 minutes to snap it off, put on this really fun makeup and this orange wig and basically be like the fun ringleader of the pack. And so that was also a challenge for me. And in a way, it was actually really fun. I mean, in my head, it sort of feels like this could be Anna many years later, and she's embraced this life. And it was sort of fun for me that I had to switch it off and really like let it go. Breathe, okay, and then like take the energy and bring it in a lighter mood for everybody. And it was not only good for myself, but for the audience. I also have this kind of fiery, sassy energy. So it was fun to go in that side of it as well.
Yeah, in a completely different direction in a way also. But it's interesting what you said before, that it's then very strongly influenced your thinking about your performance because of with this history you had before, the journey you went through for sure, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, then it's totally different.
Yeah. But maybe to put it in another context, what do you think is important to be a dancer, a performer in this kind of situation? Which kind of ability do you have to have?
I think that in order to do a role like this, the most important element is the ability to be vulnerable, to be open, to allow yourself kind of no limits. And I think the emotional journey has to come through. I mean, no matter if the steps are perfect or not, at the end of the day, if you don't feel the character's journey, you're not going to connect. And that's the strongest part of this journey. So, I mean, I painstakingly went through details of the movements and all of those things, which, you know, I could probably do them better and better and better and keep working at them. When you're on stage, I can only think so much of my finger and my feet and all of this. I hope that at some point it's like just ingrained in the body. And then like the emotional drive has to take over. I feel like that's the case with a lot of penis pieces. Like Rite of Spring is one of those that just, you have to feel that. I don't know the word, but it's like this. So it has to be a performer who's capable of being a little bit fearless and being able to tap into really dark places sometimes, or letting yourself go there, go to those places, which is not so easy to do. It gets easier, but it's still every night, I'm always surprised by the end how difficult it is.
And Stephanie, maybe as a last question, what would you wish for yourself when you do this role the next time?
Ooh, that's a good question. I wish for myself to continue to have a new journey each night and to discover something new about Anna every day. I think that there's more to uncover and there's more layers. There's more depth even still to find. And I think I want to challenge myself to keep surprising myself and to see how far I can really go with it. Like what's next? And sort of adding the last couple years of my experiences and maturity to only enhance the role. Yeah, that's what I would wish for, I think.
Stephanie, thank you very much for this talk and for the insight about
Thank you.
Anna. It was wonderful. Thank you.
It was wonderful. So nice.
Cool. And I especially like the...
Yeah. I also talk so much. So
no, but it's great. You know, it's also about you. It's not about me asking all the time. It's important to hear your story, not my story. And it was very intimate and very touching. Yeah. And it's still a bit more difficult, like in the digital version, than to have it live, to be honest. Because
thanks, Hannah. Thanks, Karsten.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Oh, am I frozen?